Hello, everybody. This is Dadaveda Pragyananda, and with another episode or another edition of Dharmacast, our spiritual podcast. And today I'm going to begin it with some reading from the works of Sri Sri Anandamurti. But I can say that the whole topic of the podcast is about the role of obstacles on the spiritual path. So I'm going to start off with just some words from the works of Sri Sri Anandamurti. He says, "Obstacles, in fact, are no foes on the path of spiritual practice, but indeed friends. They only do service to a person. It is on account of these obstacles that the battle rages against them. And this counter-effort alone carries the spiritual aspirant to his or her cherished goal." And then in another discourse, he says, "There is a popular saying, the path of spiritual excellence is beset with numerous obstacles. When one sets out on a great task, innumerable difficulties must be confronted. The greater the task, the mightier the obstacles. That is why the person who wants to perform noble deeds must indeed be ready to face opposition from the very outset. Those who are not prepared for obstacles begin to falter and ultimately surrender in the face of opposition. Let those well-versed in ethics criticize or praise me if they so like. The goddess of wealth may be gracious enough to stay in my house, or she may go wherever she likes. Death may visit me today or decades later. It makes little difference to me. Wise people will never withdraw from the path of rectitude, the path which they accept as their ideal." Now a little bit more. "Action in the spiritual sphere involves constant effort. I don't care about any material or worldly bondage. I will keep moving towards success, crushing the pebbles of obstacles and hindrances beneath my feet. I won't admit any mental confusion. I will move like a meteor towards supreme fulfillment, crushing and rending asunder all the negative thoughts in me. If an obstacle becomes as high as the mighty Himalayas, I will laughingly shatter that also. And the small hillocks I will easily stride across. And in the spiritual sphere, I will jump over the philosophical defects in the form of dogmas that are scattered here and there like holes in the ground, and I will become one with the supreme divinity." And in one more, "What is spiritual practice? Sadhana means an effort. Effort for what? It is an endless effort to become one with the supreme nucleus. It is a ceaseless effort to obtain perfection from imperfection. Now, no movement in this universe is possible without encountering opposition. Wherever there is movement, there is opposition also. The result of struggle against this opposition is termed progress. The more one desires to proceed vigorously to the goal, the more one is to struggle against the opposition. Thus, those who are adverse to struggle can never progress. They lag far behind, what to speak of progress. That's why struggle is the essence of life. Those who abhor struggle, who misconstrue struggle as violence, have no place in the world." And I want to finish with one more thing, which talks about where the obstacles actually come from. In order to achieve success in a struggle against spiritual obstacles, the entire humanity has to be established in Bhagavat or human dharma. Then only will human beings be able to breathe the free atmosphere of supreme emancipation, beyond all the insurmountable walls of spiritual obstacles. In this connection, the utterance of Lord Krishna should be mentioned. He said, "Whoever accepts me as their shelter will be able to cross this ocean of Maya." What could be more painful than spiritual bondage, which is the greatest obstacle in the path of human movement, and which leads human beings to forget their humanity and identify themselves with animality? Yet, to fight against these obstacles and emerge victorious, and therefore to bring about human emancipation, all these tasks become easier if human beings take the shelter of the Supreme Consciousness, Parama Purusha. Now the question is, what is the source of these obstacles? The answer is that Parama Purusha has a special power which is known as Maya. Whose power is this Maya? The answer is Shakti Sa Shivasya Shakti. Maya is nothing but the immanent force of Parama Purusha. Now human beings are eager to surmount these obstacles created by Maya. And for this, there is no other way than for them to take the shelter of Parama Purusha, the Lord of Maya. So now I want to just comment briefly on this. So this is a very important attitude that we have to approach towards spirituality and also towards life itself. And it's the attitude which is embedded in the practice which we call Tantra. Tantra means the effort to become perfect, the effort to expand, to liberate ourselves from the bondages of the world and to expand our consciousness until we merge in the Supreme Consciousness. So this is a gallant path. It's not a path of for, you know, sissies, you can say. It's a path for spiritual warriors. So what does Ananda Murti say about obstacles? He says they're the help. They're not the enemies. We sometimes think of, oh, you know, I want to do this, and now I have this obstacle came and that obstacle came, and we think that these are unnecessary and that these are our enemies. But these obstacles are what make us become greater. So if you're born into a very easy life and you don't have to struggle, then you don't build up any kind of courage and strength and character. So this is, sometimes it's the curse of someone to be born in luxury. We think it's a great thing. Wow, if everything would come to me, then I... But then if everything comes to you, you're never going to struggle. And this is a fact in mundane life, but especially in spiritual life. Because this is like the most noble task of humans. It's actually the most difficult. And why do I say it's the most difficult? Look around in the world today, and you will see there are many doctors, lawyers, and engineers, and which these are considered difficult disciplines, the difficult professions. But still, there are many people who have passed the legal exams, and many people who have passed the medical exams, and people who have graduated, they become engineers. There's a good number. But when you look at the number of enlightened beings, of spiritual beings, of saints, of noble souls, you see that their number is few. And the reason why their number is few is because the spiritual path is a difficult path. So on this path, you have to expect that there's going to be obstacles and problems. But these obstacles, there are two things about obstacles I want to say. One is that they are going to help you, because by getting the obstacles, you're going to double down, try harder, and then you will go a little bit further on the path. And two, the obstacles are going to show you some new ways of how to do something better. So that's why obstacles are your friends on the path. And actually, number two is not, I said number one and two are almost the same, but actually what I want to say is that obstacles are a sign of progress. So when you reach, let's say you're trying to reach a certain plateau. Let's say you play music and you play some stuff that's very easy for you. So you're in the same level. But then someone gives you a new song And then you find that difficult. It's an obstacle, but that's a good thing because now you're reaching a new level. So every time you reach a new level in your life, especially even the spiritual life, then it's a sign. You know, you're going to get obstacles, and that those obstacles are a sign of your advancement. So we should remember about the obstacles being the friends, and they lead you to new things. And I've said many times that if you want to experience the divine grace or something spiritual, divine, then you have to go beyond your normal limits. So like, for instance, you know, we want to experience some miracle, right? So let's say you're here in your house and then you have everything you need. You're well heated and you have nice food and you have your shelter. Everything's there for you. So what is the need of the divine to come into your life with something special? So I've had many experiences where I was trying to do something noble. Like, for instance, in my young days as a monk, I used to go all around France giving lectures and trying to extend the realm of spirituality to more people. So in some places I used to have, you know, like a king's welcome. You know, there would be people there to greet me, and then they set up the lecture. I went there, and many people were there, and then there was fine food. And okay, it's good. You know, it's nice to be treated like royalty. But I've had other experiences where, I'll give one example. It happened once in Normandy in France. I went to one city where a lecture had been set up for me, but there was nobody there to greet me or to receive me. Just I had the instructions of where this lecture was going to be. So I went, it was a little bit outside, it was the city of Rouen, and it was a little bit outside the city in a library. So I went there, and then I set up, got ready, and some people came for the lecture. I gave the lecture, but nobody was interested. So there I was in a strange city, and I didn't have any place to go to. Normally, in situations like that, what I used to do was I would sometimes go to new places, and then if I found some interested people, I would also say, well, can you help me out? Give me a place to stay. And it would work out. I did fairly well. But sometimes we get the situation like that night in Normandy. Everyone walked out of the hall. Nobody was interested. So there I was with my my travel bag. And I used to carry a guitar around with me in those days. So I walked slowly out of the lecture hall. And I walked back to the center of that city. And my idea was, well, what can I do now? I'm just going to walk back to the train station, wait in the train station all night, and then take the next train back to Paris, where I was staying with some friends. So I walked slowly to the city center. And then when I was almost there, one car went by me slowly and stopped. And then one guy opened the window and he motioned me to get into the car. And then I got into the car, and then he asked me a question. He said, "What movement are you in?" And I was dressed, you know, with my turban and orange things like that. So it was kind of a natural question, right? So he said, "What movement are you in?" So I said, "I'm in Ananda Marga." Then he said, "So am I." And then I was astonished because I thought that this was a place where there was nobody who had heard about our form of spirituality. So then he told me the story. He says, "Oh yeah, there was a French monk," and we had indeed one French-born monk of Ananda Marga, Rudreshvarananda his name was. And he said, "Yes, this Dada taught me meditation last year." And then he, of course, went back to Africa, and so he was not around. So she said, "Yeah, so I'm also practicing the same kind of meditation." And then he told me something very interesting. He said, "You know, but normally I don't go out here at night in this part of town, but just my father told me to go out for some errand, and now here I am." So there I was, I was saved. Like a miracle, right? You can say it's a miracle. And then he got me a place to stay, and then everything worked out fine. So had I had everything all arranged for me, I would not experience that kind of divine help. And it's happened to me several times. When you're in the lap of luxury, then you don't get the divine help. You don't experience something beyond the ordinary. But when you struggle, and when you reach your limit, then you may expect, or you may get some kind of sign of something greater. And then I want to close with one thing, which was the last thing that I read in that, and that's it's a collection of short passages. He's talking, Sri Sri Anandamurti is talking about, okay, we have obstacles on our path, but what really are the origin of the obstacles? So you know that in Indian philosophy, there's a concept of Maya. Maya, sometimes in Vedanta philosophy, it's accepted as an illusion, that there's an illusion and we have to struggle to get through the curtain of illusion. And so that's the source of our difficulty in the world. In the philosophy of Anandamurti, in his tantric philosophy, he looks at Maya in another way. It's not an obstacle, but it's actually, it's a characteristic of that supreme consciousness. The supreme consciousness is a force. It creates nature. Like we talk about nature, you know, you can walk out, and nature is always a challenge to us. Sometimes it's snowing, sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's too hot. But what is the origin of this Maya? What is the origin of this raging force of nature? But it's only the instrument of that supreme consciousness. So what is the way to overcome that raging Maya, that raging nature, those raging obstacles? The way to overcome it is to take shelter in the controller of those forces. And the controller of those forces is none other than that supreme consciousness. So when we do our meditation on that supreme consciousness, and we just take shelter in that supreme consciousness, then we get the capacity to overcome any obstacle in this world, whether it be a physical obstacle, an intellectual obstacle, or a spiritual obstacle. So this is just something that came to me tonight. I wanted to talk about obstacles on the spiritual path, and I hope that you will think about it, and I hope that it will help you to face those obstacles and come out shining in the end. So I say namaskar, and I hope that you will listen to some more instances, more episodes of this podcast, Dharmacast. Namaskar. I salute the divinity within you with the divine charms of my mind, and all the love and cordiality of my heart.